Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And again, Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a good weekend. It's sunny today. Should be in this market. Things are pretty darn good. Pretty darn good with the local teams. Darren McFarland, that's me. Willie Donick is going to be coming back from Southern California today with the Predators. They will be back at it on the ice tomorrow night at home here at Bridgestone Arena against the Bruins before heading back out on the road. So they're flying back today after picking up three of a possible 4 points in Southern California. They beat Los Angeles at the Staples Center late Saturday night, and then last night lost in a shootout, a five-round shootout to the Ducks. So they pick up 3 or 4 points, back at it tomorrow night. Chase McCabe is alongside Elijah Campbell behind the glass, and Teron Davenport talking with TD.
That's right.
Like I said,
there's a lot to talk about.
A lot of good stuff going on in this market for sure. You were in Foxborough. You know, it's interesting. We talked all week. And if you remember this time last week, I thought I was going to dazzle you guys with the Titans' best chance they could have gotten for the playoffs to win a playoff game was to draw the Patriots. And I thought you guys are going to be like, what? And everybody's like, yeah, agree. Yeah, Patriots, that's probably the best matchup. It's just still weird to say out loud that we all agreed and then talked about it all week. And you know, we went up to New England a couple times last week. Mike Petralia did not paint a flattering picture of the Patriots. It's not like he was like, yeah, settle down in Nashville. Have you looked at the last 2 decades? Hello? You seen the Patriots?
And that was on Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was when everything was still kind of new and fresh. That was on Monday he was saying that.
So you could see where it just didn't have the same vibe. But to be there, what was the vibe like Saturday night in Foxborough? Especially in the second half.
That vibe, man, forget the second half, beginning of the game. That vibe was so live. I remember, you know, seeing Coach Vrabel come out, seeing the players come out, and then they played that, they played Jay-Z, This Is Hove, and Tom Brady came out and just, I don't know, man. It was just something about like the energy that I felt from the Titans players when he came out. And it just, like, I had tears in my eyes. Like, I wasn't crying. Like, I'm not a punk. But, I mean, I had tears in my eyes. I was so excited.
Teron, it's
feeling
okay.
That. You know
did
what
you,
I mean?
Did you cry? It's all right.
I didn't. But, you know, it was – there was so much energy in that stadium pregame. It was crazy. It was crazy. And I really felt it when they did the position – A.J. Brown, I was videoing A.J. Brown and then seeing him. He came out with the specialists, and then when the rest of the receivers came out, he saw them, and he sprinted back up the tunnel. And, man, that energy was something. It was pretty cool.
Did you make Derrick Henry cry in the postgame presser?
I tried.
Yeah. You did ask him about his grandmother.
Yeah, well, you know, I always like to get guys, you know, to open up about, you know, things different than just the regular stuff.
And oh, they're human beings?
Yeah.
They have lives?
Not, believe it or not.
Outside
they have
of football.
Lives,
they people. Have a story?
Yeah.
Really? I thought they were athletic robots.
Well, you would think some
I
of them
say
are.
That sarcastically because we try to preach that message a lot on the show, and we have over the years, because it's real easy to think they're, you know, hey, these guys are professional athletes and we're here to play ball and win games. That's not how it works. They are human beings. So
shut up and dribble, right?
Yeah. Everybody has a story.
Yeah.
And he certainly has a story.
It's a cool story too, and I love the way his tone and the whole disposition, like everything about him changes when he talks about that. So it's really cool to see.
Yeah, you get a human side.
Yeah, cuz he's
pretty rough.
He's robotic with us and you know, he goes out there and performs like a robot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's an awesome player. Yeah, machine.
Machine's the best way to put it.
Yeah, or as they say, El Tractorcito. you know. But yeah, it was cool to be able to do that too.
So what were your takeaways?
Takeaways. Derrick Henry is unbelievable.
Unstoppable.
Derrick Henry is like the Terminator, man. Like, he just keeps going and going.
74% of the offense.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just, you know, that last drive before halftime was ridiculous, right? Opened up. He had a 28-yard carry. Derrick Henry gained the most yards against a Bill Belichick-coached Patriots team in the playoffs.
Ever. Put an exclamation point.
You guys were watching my nifty 50s?
I did watch it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But, yeah, I mean, you just look at everything that he did. It starts with him. I think you also have to look at just the resiliency of this team to be able to bounce back after giving up a field goal in that first drive, right? They drove down the field and they scored a touchdown. How about the goal line stand? Rashawn Evans, man. You talk about someone who knows how to trigger, reset the line of scrimmage. That's him. Daquan Jones. I went up to Daquan after the game. I couldn't help myself. I said, man, listen, you know, it doesn't show up in the box score, but what you do out there on the field, dominating those two gaps in the middle of the line, it's really good, man. It's fun to watch.
That goal line stand could quite honestly be the MVP of the game. I mean, I know there's a lot of it's actually a list. You know, Brett Kern, duh. I mean, could you, right? Did we all go, of course. He dropped it on the one. I mean, of course he did. But, I mean, there were so many things. But that stand was huge considering how we knew the second half. Now knowing what we know about the second half, how big that stand really was.
TD, what did we say Friday night they needed to do?
Run the football.
And get the game where?
To the second half.
That's exactly what they – it played out how we – how we said it was going to play out.
It was game plan, just exactly how we said it was going to play out. Get that thing close, or, you know, with a lead would be awesome, but close to the second half, and then you just run, and control the rest of the game, and that's what they did.
For anyone that's looking at Ryan Tannehill's stats and all you're doing is looking at the numbers and going, well, he had under 100 yards passing. He did exactly what he needed to do because Derrick Henry was working. You don't go away from what's working.
Mm-hmm.
So why change it?
You did
not need Ryan Tannehill to be Ryan Tannehill. You needed Derrick Henry to be Derrick Henry, and that's what worked.
Yep, feed the beast. And I'm not going to let Tannehill get off the hook, though.
No.
That daggone throw off his back foot, and I get it, you're trying to make a play. Can't have that.
No, I agree.
That could have been, I don't even know the word.
A lot worse than it was.
Well, it could have been a game-deciding pick.
Yeah.
That's what it could have been.
Yep.
But yet again, the defense responded.
Yep.
That's what makes a –
by the way, Kenny Vaccaro was insane.
Yes.
I don't think he got enough love for his play.
Well,
Saturday night.
Yesterday, Mike Vrabel said that he played safety the way he envisioned safety being played.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him about – I think it was in the post game I asked him about Vaccaro. I believe it was. But, yeah, man. And he mentioned him as one of the guys that reset the line of scrimmage. And there was one play, I think it was in the first quarter, where he triggered and he had a tackle for a loss. And I was just like, yo, this dude is – you don't see many safeties like that, and that's why his teammates love him so much.
Well, he's kind of the old school safety.
Old
really.
School safety. Well, DMPs. When I did a post on the Titans defense a couple weeks ago, and he said that Kenny Vaccaro reminds him of Rodney Harrison, and he said that he felt that way even when Vaccaro was coming out of Texas. They couldn't get him when he was in Baltimore, right? Because they had just won the Super Bowl, but. They ended up picking Matt Elam, but he was the safety that they wanted.
He believes he's the dirtiest player in the league?
Hey, listen, man.
That's what Rodney Harrison was.
Rodney Harrison was dirty, but, man, get that man his props. He was a really good safety.
He was good.
I'm not a fan of his, you know, but, yeah, he was good.
That is high praise in all seriousness.
Yeah.
Wow. They get it done. 20-13. They get the pick six. I thought Logan Ryan obviously – I don't want to say obviously, but I thought he had a rough go of it for most of the game. He had a surefire pick six earlier that went right through his hands, but he came up big in the final play that when it really counted the most is getting that pick six to end the game.
No doubt about it, man. And listen, if that's the way Brady's career with the Patriots ends, ooh, that's a disservice to the world.
How about Chris Collinsworth touching that subject? Of course, Al Michaels was pushing him, but him getting into that in the booth on NBC during that game.
You know what? I wonder if Chris Collinsworth was listening to the Chase and TD show. You know what I'm saying? Because this man to my left, he said that specifically. Tom Brady, one place that he could see him going, the best place for him to go would be the Los Angeles Chargers.
So you think Collinsworth slid into Chase's DMs?
I'm just saying.
Did the slide in.
So he didn't pick up on that. That was Chase's joke.
I know. I picked up on it.
No, I know you did, but I was seeing if TD would pick up on it.
Yeah, he did the slide into the DMs.
Slide in.
But we did. We talked because we had Mike Reese on, and we went, you know, that we were talking the game, but of course, how could you not go that down that road? And after Mike Reese was done, Teron and I were talking about it, and I was like, you know what? L.A. just seems like a fit for him. You know, it's sunny. You go out there on a one-year deal. They're probably going to be looking for a quarterback. And I know people may think, why would you go from an old quarterback to an older quarterback? But it's Tom Brady, and how many chances are you going to get at a guy like Tom Brady?
Oh, you mean they need to sell tickets maybe in Los Angeles?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
In a new stadium?
Did they have trouble selling tickets?
In a small stadium? Yes, they did.
They don't have trouble selling tickets. It's just selling just to tickets the to team. Their own fans.
Yeah, the other team's
they
fans.
Have trouble
yeah.
doing that.
Yeah, that was the problem.
I saw it firsthand, man. Eagles took that place over.
Cowboys have found their man. Mike McCarthy is the new head coach. I said on Morning Drive on my hit today at 9 o'clock, that feels like the Albert Haynesworth deal. I just don't really think that deal came together overnight. I kind of feel like that one's been in the works.
Well, I saw
it. So they clean out Jason Garrett's office, and they have immediately found their man, Mike McCarthy.
It was reported even before they officially let go of Jason Garrett or let his contract expire that they had met with Mike McCarthy. And then I saw Jay Glazer reported over the weekend that that meeting was actually extended to another day. So apparently the talks were going so well. So
well, his contract wasn't up to what, January 14th?
So I guess,
wasn't expired.
No. So they have to, I guess they had to officially announce that they were going to let it expire. I mean, I guess
right, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It was so silly. They've been dragging this out when they've known all along behind the scenes. They
but it's
weren't
been reported
back.
They've been interviewing other people. So that's what was so bizarre about it is Jason Garrett, you know, was trying to hold on and trying to have talks, and yet it's being reported that they're talking to other people, including Mike McCarthy,
sure
who is now going to be the head coach.
I'm sure Jason Garrett already had his stuff packed up. His
resume updated.
I can't imagine he was sitting in his office going,
"Hey, honey, I'm home.
Do you think there's a chance? I don't know. I think I feel good. I think I'm gonna make it. I don't think he was doing that.
Jason, what are you doing here? Rick let me in. My key card wasn't working for some reason, but Rick let me in.
Rick, stop letting him in. You guys haven't told me anything, so we'll come back. More on the Titans' victory in Foxborough over the Patriots. They win 20-13. On to Baltimore to face the Ravens. Yet again, another Saturday night tilt at 7:15. More of Darren Dunnick and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, Mister! Hey, Mister! Hey! Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter for the Titans, talking with TDZ's podcast. Teron and Chase on Friday nights from 6 to 8 here on 102.5 The Game. He's going to be with us until noon. Typically, there's a Monday press conference. That press conference was yesterday with Mike Vrabel. So we're going to have Teron hang out with us more to discuss everything that is the Titans. And this is what I know will be moved to 12:45. I'm just reading the copy. It says we've got Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, Joan Jett, tickets to give away at Nissan Stadium in June?
That is correct.
What?
You're not eligible, just so you know.
This is what I know.
Well, you're not eligible, unfortunately.
That's BS.
I know. I thought you'd like that.
Oh, my goodness.
This is radio, but I wish everyone could have seen the look on his face when he looked at the copy. Like, is this right? And I'm like, well, yes, Darren. Why wouldn't it be?
I just want to make sure before I threw that out there. That show is in June at Nissan Stadium. What in your mind was the biggest key to that game? Like I said, there's a long list of things that played out, but give me something that really stood out to you.
The fact that Julian Edelman was contained the way that he was.
Yeah.
I think that's something that's kind of floating under the radar. But
three catches.
Yeah. There was one play, man, one play, Adoree. Just I got to know what was on your mind. That jet sweep. I mean, Edelman was in the end zone, and Adoree still didn't know what was going on. I don't know what happened there. That was the only good play that Edelman made. But other than that, I mean, he was pretty much shut down. And I know he was banged up. Everybody's banged up. I'm not trying to hear that.
I don't think that's a good excuse anymore.
No. They did a really good job against him, taking that away.
How did you think Adoree played? First game back in a month.
I think he played pretty well, actually. You know, that was probably his only bad play. You know, I saw him come up, make a couple tackles. He had a very nice PBU. You know, I think he definitely played well. And it's just good for that team to have the energy that he brings, the positivity that he brings back out there on the field.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought that Vrabel and P's game plan of containing, which they ended up really shutting down the Patriots offense, I think that it worked exactly how they wanted it to. I mean, they weren't going to take them completely out of it. You knew that Brady was going to lead some drives, but you could tell that Vrabel went into that game thinking he knew what Belichick was going to do. You could tell that there was just that he knew what those meetings were like. And I think the biggest example of that was the delay of game penalties, that he was just driving Belichick crazy. He was incensed on the sideline, and I'm laughing, watching on TV, going, dude, you would do the same thing. That was right out of your own playbook.
When is the last time you saw – because here's the thing. We sit here and we criticize him for fourth down decisions, mm-hmm. for this, that, and the third. When's the last time you saw a head coach have Bill Belichick having a fit like that?
Straight savage. That was great. Throw it right back in his face.
Yeah, Vrabel, look, man, he's ascending as far as when you talk about the coaching ranks, right?
Right.
The great ones. He's clearly not a great one yet, but he's on the path toward that, you know.
He's learned. You can tell that he's starting to learn from mistakes. There was a minute where I was like, does he realize when he's making mistakes and does he learn from them? Now I'm starting to see it. And you and I talked about this Friday night. I know there was something different with this game. You can't tell me there wasn't. It's a playoff game and you know what's at stake, but he wanted to win this one more than anything because of who it was against. He won three Super Bowls with that team. He played with Brady. He played for Belichick. There's just something different, and that's a human. You know, we're talking about these guys being human. That's human that he wanted to go, because I've heard Vrabel say this. He didn't like how he left there. He didn't like being traded. So there's that something extra. And for him to – I'll say it. I think he out-coached Belichick. I think he did.
You don't even have to say it. I'll say it.
Yeah.
He did it.
Right.
That's the bottom line. He out-coached Belichick. And you know, his coaching staff out-coached Bill Belichick's coaching staff.
And I think having Dean Pease on that staff – you know, is continuing to be his best hire that he made when he got that job. But I just think this was a huge step in the growth of Mike Vrabel as a head coach.
Yeah, it was. And it's just, you know, I was saying on Friday, because I was talking to Coach Jeff Fisher, and he said that playoff win, that first playoff win, was the toughest one, mm-hmm. but it was one of the most significant, because now you can say, all right, boom, I won a playoff game. We have a game of playoff experience. Mike Vrabel could say, yes, I won a playoff game. We have a playoff game of experience. We went up to Gillette Stadium and made that Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it, because they made it their house.
It was quiet in there.
And I think, not to use the good to great phrase, but it's the best way I know how to describe this. What makes a team great? Like the Patriots have been, Baltimore, that they'll see this week, is when you have the three phases and you have one piece of a phase that maybe isn't playing the best or gets taken out of the game. Ryan Tannehill wasn't needed a lot, and he did make a mistake, but for the most part, when they needed him, He made a play. They just didn't need him a lot. Derrick Henry was 74% of the offense. But the defense then turned around and made a play when he did make a mistake. That's what makes a great team. When you have those three phases that complement each other, and they will turn around and make a play if one of the other phases slips up. I'm seeing that more and more out of this Titans team.
Yeah, and that's what you talk about when you bring up the complimentary football theme. And you know what? Shout out to the kicker too, man. You know what I mean? Couple touchbacks. You know, he hit a couple extra points. So, yeah, everything was clicking. And, man, let me tell you, special teams, right? First team all pro. There's a reason why you saw he had a couple booming punts. But what better way to end the game than to have Brett Kern pin them back? I mean, that dude's a wizard. Like, is that Harry Potter or is that Brett Kern? I'm trying to figure it out because the way he made that thing just keep rolling and stop right there, what, the 1 yard line?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You're right. I mean, there's a reason that he made first team all pro. Derrick Henry's probably the MVP of the team if you're really being honest, but Brett Kern is right there just because of those types of plays.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And Greg Joseph, I don't want to call him just the kicker.
Yeah.
Let's give the man a name, Greg Joseph.
I was right. I thought there was going
to
be a play.
I thought he was going to have to kick a field goal.
I'll
tell you what, I'm sure a lot of people felt the same way. Like, you're going to drop everything. Like, I want to see this guy kick a field goal.
Yeah. I had it 24-21.
You did.
On the strength of a so Greg Joseph kick.
I had 27-24. So I had him going in to win it, too, that he was going to have to make a play.
Give Phil Forsberg some credit. Hal Gill in pregame asked him who's going to win between the Titans and the Patriots. He said it's going to be a low-scoring affair. Titans win 17-10.
Mm.
How about that? Okay. Coming from Phil Forsberg.
He was close.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
So I want to ask both of you this. Because Darren knew I was going to go here at some point today. It now looks, from a record standpoint, it now looks the same that it did 2 years with Mike Mularkey. 2 years of 9-7, a playoff win. All looks the same. Now, I still will argue that there are two records this year with this team. There's with Tannehill, without Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
You have to break it down that way. No matter what happens in Baltimore, because if they win in Baltimore, then obviously it's better with Vrabel. But looking at the entire body of work, I mean, do you see the improvement? Do you see the steps? Do you think it is better than it was 2 years ago?
Let me ask you a question, because I wasn't here.
Right.
And I don't mean to answer a question with a question, but I want to know. After the Chiefs win last year or 2 years ago, were you guys as upbeat and positive as you are after this Patriots win in the playoffs?
I wasn't, because I look at that win, and a win is a win. It doesn't matter how you win it in the NFL. A win is a win. At the end of the day, if you score more points than the other team, you win the game. But they had to have a lot of things bounce their way, literally. I mean, Mariota catching that pass.
Kelce getting hurt in the
first
half.
Kelce got hurt.
Because he was killing them up to that point.
Yeah.
So my point is, I think there has been a progression.
Right.
If the people here, I look at you guys as a representation of the people here, if the people here feel better about this win than they did about that last one, I think there is progress. And my point is this, when I first got here last year and talking to different people within the building, they said that there was a different air of hope, of positivity, of excitement in the building. And that came from Mike Vrabel. So
yeah, and I think too. I watched this game Saturday.
Well, apparently a lot of people watched the game.
A lot of people did.
Because in this market, it was an incredible TV rating.
Yeah, 39.
Well, I haven't seen if that's official.
Right.
Mark Bender from News Channel 5 says he thinks that's what it's going to come out. I have not seen where it's officially been released. It's going to be a little bit later today. He said he believes it's going to be hovering around a 40.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what it should be. That's a playoff number. I mean, that's what it was.
What it should be and what it's been
right
are two different things.
And obviously things are different. People consume games differently now. But
I think what's interesting in this case, guys, is, and I said this about an hour and a half ago on our airwaves on Morning Drive, is I feel like there's this real surge of people coming back. I think it's very clear. They had a showing at the Wild Horse. It was packed. We used to do that stuff back in the day. I know I've referenced back in the day a lot, but, you know, sometimes when you haven't been having success, all you can reference is back in the day. Right. And back in the day, we used to have viewing parties at the playoffs at the Wild Horse, and there would be 2,000 people there watching the game. And I saw shots. I wasn't there, but I saw shots on television. It looked packed again. I mean, that is a step in the right direction. The TV ratings, if this is what it is, close to a 40, that's back in the days of Eddie George, Steve McNair, Derek Mason, Frank Wycheck, that crew, okay? So they have the ability, no matter what happens in Baltimore, in my opinion, they have gotten people back, Teron, because we talk a lot about too much of the opposition in Nissan Stadium. Yeah. Back then, we never talked about that because every game was sold out, and it was 69,000 hardcore Titans fans.
Right.
And so they've got an opportunity now to capture this. But the thing is, just like the Predators 3 years ago on the run to the Stanley Cup final, you have to stay at this level, right? You have to keep them interested. You can't have this magical season, whatever this run ends up being, and then go 5-11, right? Because all that gets washed away. Well, if they're successful again next year, I think you're going to see some big things happening in this market again.
Yeah, coming from a market that was Eagles, 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 Phillies, Sixers, Flyers, I was shocked by how much the Predators – this is a hockey town. The Predators, that's the thing.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? I don't even like hockey, but you know what? I somewhat pay attention because that is the thing here. So it's pretty cool to see fans start to support. But, you know, they have to continue to support the Predators because they've done so many things connecting to the fans. I mean, daggone, you walk down Broadway on game day and, like, you would think that it's a Stanley Cup game because everyone has Predators gear on. They've done a good job connecting with the community, and I think the Titans are kind of following that lead. And you're right, they have to capitalize on it. And the thing that's really cool is it's two sports that you can have the city love both teams, right? And it could just bounce back and forth. I mean, I would love to see a day where, you know, you have the Pred or the Titans playing earlier and then the Predators playing, and it's just a day of Nashville sports, and it's nothing but a celebration.
Well, one thing this market's never seen, and I thought this is where you were going, one thing I would like to see is in the same window, same season, same time frame, having the Titans making a push for a run to the Super Bowl, Titans or the Predators having a magical year or a really good season, and then they'll eventually make their run, their push for the Stanley Cup. It's always been staggered, right? Mm-hmm. Early on,
right.
It was the Titans. And then the Titans started, you know, that fell off, and then that's when the Predators came around. So we've never really had that perfect storm where both were at a high level together.
Yeah.
That's what would be cool.
Yeah. Well, and I like that the players have always supported each other, and, you know, you do have kind of a difference between hockey players and football players because a lot of the hockey players are European or Canadian, and football is just not as big of a deal. But you can tell that they've gotten to know each other. They're supporting each other. And I thought it was cool over the weekend that the Predators were tweeting out their support for the Titans. They were tweeting out when the Titans won. And that's what I want to see as a citizen of Nashville is both teams in Nashville SC now coming into the mix playing off each other. And I'm with you, Darren. I think it'd be really cool to see that run for the Cup and run for the Lombardi all in the same year. And look, there's still a long way to go in the hockey season. It could happen. You never know.
Yeah.
But the Titans right now definitely getting some attention. And Teron, to your point, I think the Titans are trying. They're now, since Amy Adams Strunk has gotten comfortable in her role, she's trying to correct some mistakes from the past and of connecting to the fans. It's not just about winning anymore. Winning is nice. Winning's going to help you. But there are other things that you have to do as an organization to connect to your fans.
And I think they're doing that. Look, that organization, Miss Amy Adams Strunk, $450,000 donated to this community for a variety of causes. It wasn't just to one thing. It was a variety of causes. Derrick Henry, went to Burlington a few days before Christmas, paid off layaways.
Yeah.
Talk about seeing people just break down in tears because all of the stress, right, that he was able to relieve for them by doing something that he felt was just the right thing to do, that he was taught to do, right? You look at Kevin Byard, free football camp. A lot of these kids cannot even go on the campus of Edgeworth High School, let alone be able to go on the campus and meet a guy like Kevin Byard, free camp. They have done everything. And, I mean, there's Logan Ryan. I hate to – I don't have time to go through the whole roster because they all do great stuff. But the point is they are doing a great job of combining the winning with just making those emotional deposits within the community.
Amy Adams-Strunk was out in the parking lot, tailgate, in Foxborough.
What owner does that?
Right.
What owner? And let me tell you, it was cold and raining.
In Foxborough in January?
No.
For emphasis, it was said.
I know. So you're right. We'll come back. More discussion on what the Titans did in Foxborough. They get it done. They win 20-13. Next up, the Ravens. Just think about this. Let this sink in. Either the Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens, the Houston Texans, or the Tennessee Titans. One of those four is going to be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. By the way, here's a fun little factoid. I want you guys to think about it. Don't look it up. Don't cheat. Just think about it. As we go into divisional weekend, divisional round weekend, 8 teams remaining, 4 in the NFC, 4 in the AFC. How many teams are the same as last year, this time last year, going into the divisional round? Okay? Tell me that on the other side. More discussion next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You don't know nothing about that.
All I know is what I'm seeing.
TD is hype. Hype in the club.
It's time for the percolator.
Yeah, that's how you do it right there.
Right when I get the video out?
Oh, get it? Come on.
Percolator.
Wow.
This is happening. That's going out on social media, Toronto.
Put it up there. Yeah.
Back here on Darren Donigan Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. By the way, if you want to get involved in the show, you can, 737-1025, 615-737-1025. You can call us or you can text us. It's all under the same number. We'd love to hear your reaction of the weekend and what's coming this Saturday. So I threw out there that we're going into the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. 8 teams remaining. This time last year, how many new teams do we have? Or how many same teams, however you want to answer
That's probably the easiest way to answer it.
Do we have? How many same teams do we have from this time last year?
Out of all the playoff teams?
Yeah. So how many of the 8 today were in the 8 of last year?
I'll take a wild guess. 5.
Okay. Chase?
I'm going to say 3.
3 from Chase, 5 from Teron. Elijah, have a guess?
I know in the AFC there's just 1, so I'm going to go with 2.
Ooh, so Elijah goes lower. All of you are wrong.
Really?
It's not 5, 3, or 2. How about 1?
Really?
1.
Just the Chiefs, huh?
Just the Chiefs.
Man.
That's it. I know. Chase has got the squinted eyes. Like,
well,
what? Wait
a minute. Saints?
Don't forget the Chargers.
But the Saints. The Saints went all the way to the NFC title game.
Last year?
And got, yeah, that's why we have this stupid pass interference rule.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right.
But they didn't, yeah, they lost in the divisional last year. They lost in the wild card this year. So
no,
they're not.
The Saints
no, that's
lost,
right. It was the NFC championship game.
The Saints lost in the NFC championship game.
So it would be 2.
And the Chiefs lost in the NFC or in the AFC championship.
I just quickly did that in my head. I guess it would be the Saints, right?
Yeah.
Saints and Chiefs.
But I thought, did the Seahawks not make it?
Were they in the divisional round? That's the difference.
Who did they lose to?
Because remember last year we had the Patriots, we had the Chargers, Chiefs, and the Colts, right? Those were the 4 in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
So all we have left are the Chiefs in the NFC.
That's right. The Seahawks lost to my Cowboys.
They lost. How in the world could you not remember that?
Look, there is a lot of things going on. There are a lot of things going on with the Cowboys
right
now.
You came in a Jason Garrett jersey the next day.
No, I didn't. I can assure you I did not.
Find out.
So it's two. My bad. I just did it off the top of my head. I was like, I think the Chiefs are the only one.
So I'm right then. I win.
So you win.
Yeah. All right. D-Mac asking the question and don't know the answer?
Well, I just did it.
Come on, man.
I just did it on the fly.
Well, that's
you're right.
Bad.
There was kind of a controversy. And, oh, by the way, there was controversy again with the Saints game. Here we go again.
Go figure.
So where do you guys lie in the final play of the game?
For the Saints?
Should have been called, shouldn't have been called.
Listen, I will say this. As a DB, it is your job to turn and look for the football. He would not have as much of an opportunity to get pushed off if he was not face guarding. So I think it kind of goes both ways. I let it ride.
Okay. I am with you. I am surprised at how many people are not with us. So many people. I mean, just hardcore, absolutely, that's OPI. Absolutely. And I'm like, really?
I think they got it right.
First of all, did you watch Seattle, San Francisco in the final game of the regular season?
Hmm. That's
pass interference. Hollister got, I was going to use a word I shouldn't use. He got mugged.
He got violated.
There's another word. We can use that. He got mugged. He got violated in the end zone. That is pass interference that right. they didn't call. That one, I was like, no. For all the people that are going screaming from the mountaintops, I get it. It's the Saints, so it's probably easy to be like, they got hosed again. I didn't see it. I felt like, I think that play, you just let that one play out. That's, I dare I say, hand fighting. I don't know, Teron, that may be a little simplistic. That was a little bit more than hand fighting, but I was totally okay with it. Not
throwing a flag. I was okay with it too. I was okay with it. Chase is kind of
he hasn't really said much.
No,
so.
I agree. I mean, I think they got it right. I'm glad that the officials and the NFL did not give in to the pressure that once again the Saints are in the middle of a controversial call.
I think what surprised me is New York, air quotes, was looking at it and how quickly they came back and said, "Yeah, touchdown, good."
Yeah,
we looked at all the angles; it's all good. I'm like, wow, on a play to decide a team's fate. Really, you looked at every angle that quick? Like, I'm okay with coming back with that decision, but that was fast.
Yeah,
we looked at everything. Yep, it's good. I'm like, oh, okay.
You haven't heard the NFL has it out for the Saints, man.
I know.
Where
I have seen that on Twitter.
You know, it's a conspiracy against the Saints.
Look, it's unfortunate that they have had so many of these plays that they've been involved in. I mean, I get it. From a fan's standpoint, like, that's got to be excruciating, but it's just football. And they're going to have to reevaluate this whole reviewing pass interference thing because it hasn't changed anything. It's just they put it in for the playoffs, and then they didn't really use it yesterday or this weekend. So I can understand the frustration from that point. But if you go and you watch the play, you have so many times that people are like, just let them play. It's the playoffs. Just let them play through it. Don't call everything. Well, that's exactly what they did. Is it close? Okay, probably.
Yeah, I didn't say that it's a no-brainer.
If you dissect it with a microscope, could you maybe make an argument for OPI?
Rudolph,
sure.
Hey, Rudolph pushed off. Yeah, a little bit. But he's like 6'5", and that DB was what? About 5'11", 6 feet. I mean, he's a much bigger guy.
Here's an idea. When you're a 7.5-point favorite, maybe don't play like crap the whole game.
Look, honestly, Minnesota was the better team.
Yeah,
if you watch the game, Minnesota was the better team. Or here's an idea: when Drew Brees, don't fumble the ball.
Yeah,
late in the game,
right?
How about that? Don't
because
fumble
he
it.
Was being Drew Brees, and they were marching down the field, and probably going to close it out and win the game, and he makes a mistake, a rare mistake, and so look, but it shouldn't have been that close. Good on Minnesota for playing the way they did, but New Orleans should have won that game if they had played 100%.
And that's the thing that always gets overlooked. The things, like, you always focus on the result but overlook the process, right? How did they get to that point? You know, and even like last year, everyone says, oh, well, you know, that call cost. Well, what happened to you know, losing the lead after being, what were they up, 10-0? At home, what happened to losing the lead?
Right.
You know what I mean? So you have to look at everything, and I don't like the whole concept of one play being the direct impact on the reason, like the
it's
whole
not.
Reason why. It definitely contributed, don't get me wrong, but end of the day, don't get yourself in that situation.
Last I checked, they play a football game is 60 minutes, last I checked. So it's not just one play?
Well, actually, they played more than 60 minutes this weekend.
They went to overtime.
Twice. Right.
Yeah, they had to push back the game, man.
Yes.
Ten minutes.
Don't get me started on Buffalo.
Oh, I mean, by the way, this is what I know last week on Monday was, this is what I know. At least two, probably three road teams are going to win this weekend.
You're right on
three road teams. One this weekend. Mm. And quite honestly, should have been four. Should have been a clean sweep. In fact, I was wrong about the Saints game because I said the one that I feel the most confident about is the Saints beating the Vikings.
You too.
The rest, I could see any of the three losing those home games. I said two, probably three, I could see road teams winning in the wild card round, and 3-1.
Yeah.
And it should have been 4-1. Should have been 4.
Yeah, 4-1 because the Seattle won.
No, but Buffalo lost.
Yeah.
Buffalo choked it.
They did. Up 16-0.
We were texting it with Willie and Elijah. And, you know, we're talking about, oh, here we go. Bill O'Brien, he may lose his job after this one. And then wouldn't you know it, Buffalo just gags it. And Houston comes back and holds on. Even in overtime, I thought they had a chance.
Well, the Texans tried to gag it.
Yeah.
I mean, Josh Allen. Dude, you're going the wrong way at the end of the game.
Unbelievable.
What did they lose in those two plays? Like 35 yards? And now you think that's the game. And, you know, it almost bit the Texans in the rear because Buffalo got the ball back and kicked the field goal to push it into overtime. I was like, man, if the Texans lose this, Bill O'Brien's going to get fired.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that last week, man. I definitely thought that was the case.
It would have been fine for him, though. He gets fired, and then Josh McDaniels leaves. He becomes the OC of the Patriots.
Yeah, New England. Funny how stuff works
Bill
out.
Bill would be like, come on back.
It may even have been like a trade, right? Josh McDaniels and Nick Caserio for Bill O'Brien. But just without any compensation, just the
maybe.
Whole circulation of coaches.
All right, we'll come back, wrap up the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Hey, yo, Bo knows this, why? Bo knows that, but Bo don't know jack, cause Bo can't rap. What do you know? The ditto is first up the bat, the batteries included, and no strings attached. Oh, I could keep going.
That was fantastic.
Hey, he doesn't need coffee on this show.
That would be a no.
Teron Davenport in studio with us the first 2 hours here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Monday morning. And he doesn't need coffee. No, that is his coffee. The bump music coming out.
Music makes me high.
Jayon Brown, what do you think? Is he going to be okay for Saturday night?
I mean,
I know you're not a doctor, and we'll find out. But, I mean, how bad do you think it is, in your opinion?
It's hard to say. Because when that first happened and he was laying there, it was like, you know, when you were little, you had the action figures and you played real hard with them and their arm would come out. Like, he was laying there and it was like his arm was separated from him, you know. But then he managed to come back in and then it happened again. I'll say this. After the game, Jayon was walking through the locker room and he was holding his bag and he didn't have a brace or a sling or anything. And I was like,
That's
you cool? And he was like, yeah, I'm good. So that's a good sign. When he was asked about, I think one of the guys asked about Jayon Brown, and Coach Vrabel said he's sore just like the rest of the guys. So I don't know. We're really going to see tomorrow. I would probably think he'll be at least limited. You know what I mean? But I think we'll get a better gauge because limited versus not participating is – Those are two different things, and if he's limited, I think it's still a good shot he plays.
Because I thought it could be one of two things. Either it was the collarbone, which wouldn't be good at all, or maybe he popped his shoulder out.
Oh, I thought it was just because I've dislocated my shoulder, I thought that's what it was, and that's not fun. The fact that you said that he did not leave in a sling,
they probably popped it back in.
I'm not a radio doctor, but just because I've gone through it, I can just tell you right now that is excruciating, and it is not fun to go through. That is basically that joint getting pulled out of its socket, and then it has to be put back in. He would have a wrap on the shoulder. I mean, you just don't leave and hold your bags. That's just my opinion. I don't know. I'm also a weenie. Jayon Brown is probably tough.
Now, I can't say that he was, because I think when he fell, it was the right shoulder. I don't remember if you know, the shoulder that he injured is the same one that he was using
to carry the bags.
I can't say that, but I just think, you know, seeing a man carry a bag, I think was pretty good.
What did you think of Long filling in his place?
I've always liked David Long, right? We're talking about a Big 12 Conference Player of the Year, right, defensively. I've always liked him. I felt like playing in that conference prepared him for this league, and we talked about that a lot because you're used to playing in space. And I think he did a pretty good job. There were two plays, like one where he had a bad angle, and I think Sony Michel had a long run off of that. But for the most part, I think he played well. That dude is pretty good sideline to sideline. He's decent. Actually, there was a screen he messed up too. It was a long one by James White, if I remember correctly. But for the most part, I think he played well. He filled in. But, you know, Jayon Brown is Jayon Brown, right? We're talking about one of the most ascending young linebackers.
Big shoes to fill.
Not only on the team, in the game, you know. And, big shoes to fill. So for the Titans' sake, hopefully Jayon is okay.
And enter Wesley Woodyard.
The Lumberjack.
He just never goes away.
The old man.
He's going to play for 10 more years.
That's the OG. And I talk about before the game, feeling their energy. Man, when those guys first come out the tunnel for the pregame, when they say, you know, and now the visiting Tennessee Titans, and you see Wesley Woodyard and Jarrell Casey, they come out first. The energy, man, it's crazy. It's crazy. And they go back, I'm a lead. No, you lead. No, I'm a lead. And they go back and forth. And just the energy is – Wesley is a great dude. And he's another one we talk about connecting with the community. He has some really big things in store.
He's a great guy.
You know, once things stop on the football field. He's a great dude, man.
He's been a captain every level he's ever played at.
Yeah.
Played on.
Hadn't he been a captain like every year he's been in the league?
Probably not his rookie year, but yeah, I mean, for the most part, once he became a vet, I could see that, man. I could see that.
When we come back, we'll kick off the second hour with can the Titans beat the Ravens? And you're going to kind of tell us a little bit. You've got a video out there. Don't forget, Dean Pease and Greg Roman have gone up against each other on a big stage before. We'll talk about all that to kick off the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.